It is the Community Collective. Good morning, your host, Romeric. Bam had to step out. He actually is going to be on TV. He's shooting for a TV show, so make sure you guys look out for that. But without further ado, welcome to the Community Collective, where we get our community outreach leaders on the program to discuss what they have going on. Today in studio, I have Natasha Ferguson, and I also have Executive Director for Reach Out, Diana Fox. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Romeric. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, it's great having you in. I believe you and I met at the ribbon cutting ceremony in Harupa Valley.
That is true. We had an amazing grand opening of the only resource center in the Harupa Valley, Western Riverside area. And so we were really great.
Now, when you say resource center, can you elaborate on what that center provides for the community?
Whatever our families and our community members need, it could be something as simple as food, clothing, all the way up to job help, housing, all the big issues. And so we're there to help them navigate to whatever resources that they need anytime.
And I got to say, when I was out there, you had a lot of vendors out there. You had a lot of supporters. We had politicians out in local support. And I mean, a lot of food vendors. I mean, it was the facility was very, very nice. I had a really good time. Before we get started talking about Reach Out, let's go back. Who was Diana Fox before this? How did she get into this and why?
Oh, wow. You're going to make me go way back. So really just thinking, I spent the first half of my career in the for-profit sector and just was not feeling it any longer and really was looking for something different. And I have to be honest, I didn't know a lot about the nonprofit sector till I was like maybe in my early 40s, and then really started thinking about how I can have a bigger impact in the world, and discovered that where I felt most at home and where I felt I could have the biggest impact is in the nonprofits.
You saying having the bigger impact, where were you finding yourself having impacts?
So anytime I could be involved in the community, so even before I made the jump to nonprofits, I always felt most impactful. You know, I had my young family, when I could be helping in the community, helping at their schools, helping, you know, with whatever that looked like. And that's when I was feeling really fulfilled.
Okay. And then so then you started finding your way. And how did that develop? How did it get you into doing community outreach?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I first started my nonprofit journey really with a nonprofit that focused on environmental justice. And I was there just for a short time doing development work, and then loved it so much when an opportunity came up at Reach Out for an executive director position. I applied for that. And here I've been for the last 17 years at Reach Out.
17 wow.
years. But every day feels like a brand new day. I feel like there's so much still to do that I feel like every day is a new challenge. And I get really excited about the work that we're doing.
Okay. And speaking about the work you guys are doing, I mean, because you guys are embedded in the community. I mean, just the Reach Out community is one branch of what you guys offer. What do you guys facilitate for the community?
So Reach Out has a big scope of service. And so what we really like to do is focus on four areas where we really feel like if we don't do these whole four areas, we're not making the right impact. And the first one is like, view it as concentric circles.
Uh-huh.
Like the first concentric circle is the individual. Helping individuals, if that's, you know, whatever they need.
Do you see that individuals need help with right now? What is like the most cry for help?
I think our biggest needs right now, and you're seeing this play out in a lot of different ways, are in the mental health sector.
Yeah.
We are seeing, you know, a lot of young people that were impacted by the pandemic, being out of school for so long and that type of thing. They're really struggling.
The
still.
World actually stopped. I mean, we really had to take a pause and look at ourselves. And I myself started doing therapy right during pandemic. So that's for sure.
No, and I'm so glad to hear you say that and for you to put that out there, because I think people need to know that stigma.
I was born in 1978. Okay. Therapy was a word that you only seen on TV. You only seen people, actors going to therapy. That wasn't something that was taught when I was coming up. But knowing now what I know about therapy, I really wish that was a talk when I was coming up, because that would have benefited me just in processing feelings, you know, just in that coming up in this world.
Yeah, isn't that true? And for my generation, it's like 20 years before yours,
right,
Eric. So,
and very conservative in those times, for sure.
You know, that wasn't a thing. And so Reach Out has done a lot of work with mental health. And we actually have several schools where we are on their campuses every day working with their kids. And just this year, for one school district, the Chaffee Joint Union High School District, we've already had over 3,000 young people come through seeking services from a district that has about 18 to 20,000 kids. 3,000 of them have reached out for various needs, not all crisis, you know, some are smaller things, high school stuff, you know, but
it's developmental. Yeah. And if you, they miss a cornerstone, then it definitely impacts the future. For
absolutely.
Sure.
So then that next concentric circle outside of that is the family. And for that, we do a lot of family nurturing programs, not a regular parenting program like you think of where you're teaching your kids like how to pick up their socks.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's more about how do you take families that maybe have experienced some abuse, maybe are using a lot of corporal punishment, that type of thing, and turning that into a nurturing setting of saying, you don't need to use corporal punishment. You don't need to use harsh
I learned
measures.
This in therapy too. The term is generational trauma.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
And it's something that we've all deal with. It's just something that we normalize the pain of our past experiences, and then we just teach it to our kids, and then they teach it to their kids, and so on and so forth. So breaking that chain is a really good thing.
When I talk about our programming for this, I use the word generational a lot, because if we can stop harsh punishments, and really a lot of families have never thought about how do you sit down and teach a parent to sit on the floor with their little one and
especially
read a book
nowadays
and play.
Too, because we're taught to we don't have time for anything.
Right.
We have to go. I don't have time for this. And, you know, it's always quick shortcuts. It's quick. But sometimes you can't take those shortcuts.
Yeah. It's like sit in front of the TV.
Right.
You know, I'm busy. I've got
binge watch Netflix or get on YouTube or just something to take away from the actual family communication.
Yeah. So we think that it's really important to just get parents back in that zone, getting them to nurturing. And then also we do a lot of maternal mental health work as well where, for new moms that are between zero and kids with 0 to 12 months, or even when they're still pregnant, have a lot of, and especially you can imagine during the pandemic, you're a new mom. Your pediatrician just said, don't take your baby out. Now you're even further isolated.
Anxiety and all those hormones and going through all those changes.
So that program is our Mom's Wellness Program, and it is funded by both Molina Healthcare and the Department of Behavioral Health for Riverside County. And it's incredible the transformations that we see for moms to have that touch point to be able to reach out to other moms and not feel isolated, get through some of the postpartum depression.
Right.
And then if they have real deep depression, obviously we refer them over to mental health professionals for that. So
totally awesome. I just really, I mean, once I got in contact with your organization, I started going down in the rabbit hole. I mean, you guys really do reach out. That's just a great title for your organization.
Thank you.
So anything else? I see you guys have an event coming up in June.
Yeah. So we have in June our big conference that we've been doing for several years now. This year at the Riverside Convention Center.
Uh-huh.
Generally, there's about 600 to 800 people that attend over the 2 days. And we focus on all of these issues that we've been talking about and more, about really raising the health and quality of life of all Inland Empire residents. And what does that really take? And so we focus on restorative justice practices.
Okay.
So again, looking at how society now is being more punitive rather than restorative.
Can you elaborate a little? Let's go a little bit deeper.
Let's go a little bit deeper.
Go ahead.
All right. So, well, let me tell you about one restorative practice that Reach Out is hugely promoting because we've seen the impact of it in our young people, and that's the youth court program. So if you can imagine, you're a kid making your mistakes, right?
Which we all do.
Which we all do. And let's say you come in contact with law enforcement, and now you are part of the juvenile justice system.
Okay.
All right? So as a society, we're not real great about helping the kids reform, for lack of a better term. It's more a lot of times about, you know, like, oh, this kid did this, give him some community service or put him in juvenile hall or whatever that looks like, right? And they come out and they're not really helped a whole lot by their experience.
Or they've never really processed the fact that they've done something wrong.
Right. So with youth court, what happens is the case is diverted away from the juvenile justice system through a whole process that very much respects the rights, you know, all of our law enforcement, public defender, district attorney, probation, sheriff's department, all of the big players are part of the steering committee for this.
Okay.
And so what happens is the case actually goes to a case manager. The child, usually a teen, is kind of assessed to see, like, what's really going on behind the scenes? Why are they, you know, getting into trouble?
Does this happen usually, or do you have to actually ask or request for these type of services? Because it sounds like if you don't know that these services are available, they're not going to tell you.
That is what we're working on right now, because only if your particular city or your particular school district has this program. So we are building it out to multiple cities, multiple school districts right now.
Okay.
And that will be part of our conference. We're going to have a huge track all around building out this youth court system. And then what happens is we train young people as jurors.
Okay.
And then there's an adult judge that's usually, always an attorney to keep an eye on things, just making sure it all goes good. And then the kids actually decide, what does this kid need?
Based on his peers.
You know, okay. And so one case that always sticks out to me was there was a young person that was in trouble, and they were like, look, you were a really great kid, you know. They're always great kids, right?
Right.
Got not getting in trouble, like, you know, what happened? And he was like, well, you know, like, I quit playing soccer, and I was home, I had a lot of time on my hands, you know. And so one of their, it's called a disposition instead of a sentence, their disposition requirements was that he rejoin a team.
Right.
And so, because that is where his life started to fall apart, was he...
Lack of organization. He was
isolated. He was, you know, not part of that team. And, you know, teenagers, so they got some time on their hands. They're going to
fill it. Yeah, I have a 16-year-old son, and sometimes I have to open the door just to bring sunlight into his room.
Yes. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but they really do not
door,
like sunlight.
You vampire.
I totally agree. So anyway, so that program, then what happens is if they complete that program, then that offense does not go on their juvenile justice record. And you may say, well, why is that important? Those records are sealed, right?
It's very important because paperwork, follows you. It follows you as far as you go.
Supposed to be sealed, but if you want to be a firefighter,
yep.
a police officer,
yep.
or many other professions, it will preclude you from doing that. And
agreed.
So that is an example of a restorative justice, because then what happens then when another thing they have to complete, they have to now come back and sit on the jury. And so now you've taken them like from one side of the bar.
Correct.
To the other side of the bar. And now you've made them a part of helping other kids as well. And
well,
so
it just
it's extremely
shows them
powerful.
The understanding on both sides of the window. Yeah, that's
right.
Great. I just got goosebumps. <laughs> <laughs>
It's an amazing effort. And I hope that people hearing about it will really say, you know, like, let's see more of that and start pushing their school districts.
Now, how do you keep Reach Out running? Like, how is that? Like, how do you keep the wheels turning and the lights on and...
Well, I have amazing, amazing team that do all of these amazing things, you know, and my job is really more, you know, being out, keeping the money coming in so that I can keep paying them, you know, and payroll is always very important. And I think, but Reach Out primarily runs through grants, you know, from both, you know, foundation grants, federal grants, state grants, county grants, many different sources. We have a very diverse funding portfolio, but it's always, always a struggle, for any nonprofit to keep those doors open and keep everything moving.
And if you are just checking in, it is the Community Collective. And in studio today, we have Diana Fox, Executive Director of Reach Out Organization Program. And you're always looking for volunteers, aren't you?
We love volunteers all the way from our young people all the way up to any age. And just depending on what projects we're doing at that time, you can contact us and see if there's a place.
Where could they contact you?
So you can call our main number, which is 909-982-8641. And you can also just go on to our website, which is at we-reachout.org.
Okay. And if you are interested in volunteering your services to the Reach Out organization, I'm going to give you that number one more time. It's 909-982-8641, or go to the website we-reachout.org. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? I mean, I see you at the event June 13th and 14th, and it was an acronym, NIC.
NIC. Yeah. I would love to talk about NIC because this is the big one. This is the biggest and only health and quality of life conference for the Inland Empire that exists. And so we invite everyone to come. You can go on our website and find that information. We have Laura Coates, who is the CNN commentator, that is going to be one of our keynotes. We also have Dr. Soma Stout from Harvard, who does amazing global health work as well, as a keynote, and many others and breakout sessions on topics that everyone would find interesting.
Now, what would be one? Just off the top.
Oh, off the top. Well, we really are looking forward. We just talked about youth court. I mentioned that there will be a whole session on that. We'll also be doing a lot of sessions on mental health and serving different populations, all the way from our LGBTQ populations and all the stressors that are happening there to our young people. We'll be presenting on a lot of the programs that folks are doing that are proving to be successful for students. And then we also have a lot of work happening right now around community health workers. And if you are interested in being trained as a community health worker, we actually have grant funding where we can train you at no cost to be a community health worker.
Now, how would somebody be able to request an application for that?
Also on our website, all of that information is there, or you could call our main number as well to just ask about it if you'd like some additional help on that. We love to do a lot of trainings, and this is something that is going to be a extremely in-demand occupation.
Now, is this a certified training? Like, they will be officially certified?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
And this is something that, especially here in the state of California, that this is a new classification that can now be billed under insurance. And so all of the, like, Inland Empire Health Plan and Molina Healthcare that do all the Medi-Cal funding, they are going to be using these folks a lot. Like, there is so much opportunity
there. And talking with my therapist every Monday, she always stresses that there's not enough therapist out there, or not enough support for mental wellness out there. I mean, it's probably one therapist for every 30 person. Every 30 people, something like that?
Yeah, the shortage is real, and there are so many unfilled positions, even in our crisis response teams for the counties, in just for therapists, in your clinics. I'm sure if you've tried to schedule an appointment, you've probably had to wait. That's not what we want, right? When people feel the need.
I actually got in before the spike happened. I actually took advantage before the spike. I felt something was happening, and and right after, everything just started popping. It was wellness, therapist, get a therapy, everybody. And now there's not enough to go around.
Now there's not enough. But, you know, it's one of that's another big push that Reach Out has, is around creating a health workforce that is diverse and is responsive to our Inland Empire needs.
Right.
And so, for instance, last week we just did a huge health professions conference for about 450 high school students.
Wow.
At UCR, where we hosted them like a full day, just as if they were adults, plenary sessions, breakout sessions.
Okay.
They all left with huge bags of
goodies
from all of our vendors. And, you know, and they got to hear about professions that they may not otherwise ever consider because, you know, they're in high school. They don't know, you know, all the things that happen behind the scenes in healthcare. And so anyway, so that has been, we started doing the Inland Health Professions Consortium in 2007. So we're about 15 years into this work.
Congratulations.
And every year we see over about 6,000 young people that where we're in their schools, we're helping them with what's called work-based learning, getting exposure to different health workforce.
Right.
And so because we, between us and the Central Valley, we always have the worst numbers, like you were saying, like 1 to 30 for therapists.
Correct.
But so we're always like, who's going to be number one this year, us or the Central Valley, for physicians and nurses? And so right now we have the worst physician shortages and Central Valley has the worst nursing shortages, but we're always kind of jockeying back and forth. Right?
Yeah. And it's just never going to be enough until we get enough resources out there. Wow, that's really, really awesome that you guys are doing this. I really appreciate it. Now, we started the conversation, you saying you really didn't know what you wanted to do before you got here. Now you doing this, how do you feel? Like when you wake up every day and you're doing what you want to do, you're giving back to the community. How does that make you feel?
It always feels like I'm not doing enough, quite frankly.
You're your worst critic, though. You know that, right?
You probably need some therapy for that.
Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah, I may have to get you the name of your therapist. Yeah. But it is honestly, and Natasha will tell you that it's an ongoing, there's always something new.
Right.
Being responsive to the needs of our region is a huge responsibility that Reach Out takes very seriously. And we are never stagnant. And so, you know, even during the pandemic, we were the organization that the public health department chose to have us be the funnel for all the money that was going out to the nonprofits. And we were managing all the other nonprofits working on pandemic response, which was a huge honor and very humbling. And we had amazing partners. And through that process, together, we reached over 2 million people a year during the pandemic.
2 million?
Through all of the different methods that we would use. And
wow.
So it was.
If I didn't know any better, it sounded like you guys were hustlers. You guys are grinding out there,
well,
huh?
Well, with all of the partnerships, yes.
Yeah.
Reach Out tries. We always say we don't do anything alone. We love to partner. We love to be collaborative. And
that's what we do here at the Community Collective, is make sure that we connect all the leaders together and make sure that our communities are better, progressive, and safer out there.
I love that.
Anything else you guys want to get out there? Do you guys have a social media or anything we can follow you at?
We do have all the social medias. So, Natasha.
Natasha,
do you
might have
here.
To get on the
come
mic.
Over here.
Come on, girl.
Yes, please follow us at We Are Reach Out.
Okay, at We Are Reach Out. And that's at Instagram and Facebook?
Instagram, Twitter.
Twitter.
Facebook.
Okay.
And we also have a TikTok page.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Natasha Ferguson, the Communications Marketing Manager for Reach Out. Thank you for that. Anything else you guys want to shout out?
I just want to say thank you for having us on today. And this has been just incredible getting to know you more as well. And
it's not just me.
Doing.
Bam is supposed to be here, but he's out being famous right now. He'll be back next week. It is the Community Collective. This is what we do every Sunday morning starting at 8 a.m. If you guys have a community leader or a community activation that you guys want to get out, go ahead and contact us at 1047cs@gmail.com, or you can call us at 909-619-2932. One more time, 909-619-2932. Well, Diana and Natasha, I really appreciate you guys coming into the studio. It is the Community Collective. Your guy, Romeric. Good morning.